So I just want to welcome you all to the Metacast. I'm actually at home well after most of this was recorded, lying in bed, relaxing. I just wanted to, put together a little something to tell you about how the episode went, what to expect. I decided to give my roommate a call. We recently both got into tennis, so I did. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be erratic as usual. My roommate, we've known each other for a long time, so, he's also a consummate professional, as I'm sure you'll hear over the voice. He's got a podcast of himself, which we're going to mention, Jumping Off Bridges. I just want to thank you guys, if you're listening to this, for tuning in. It's nice, wholesome podcasting with a few swear words. If you care, I know you don't, I don't know why I do this, but, if you are listening, thanks for listening. Enjoy the cast.
Ahem.
Ahem. It's Matthew Velez.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Metacast, the Matcast. Today, ooh, on episode 2 of the Metacast, I am at work again. I had questions to ask, and I wanted to ask my very good friend, Matt, of the other Matcast, the Whackcast, the Jumping Off Bridges. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thank you very much. Let me take my mask off. Sorry, I was just getting breakfast from Tim Hortons.
A 1:30 p.m. breakfast, huh?
Sorry, could you ask that again?
1:30 p.m. breakfast?
1:30 p.m. breakfast. I'm trying to chart a new trend, right? Everybody keeps talking about brunch. Brunch is this new, not new, obviously people have been doing brunch for a long time, but brunch is trendy. So I'm trying to make like a lunch breakfast, like a lunch fest or something. Like I'm trying to, like, whereas brunch is this glamorous early 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning kind of thing. I'm trying to do some shameful 1:30 in the afternoon brunch.
Right, right. So the opposite of, brunch.
Lunch fest. Brunch. Yeah, it's effectively like brunch, but I feel like brunch has that name, that kind of like, it's got a nice white pastel gold.
Let's call it Brexlow.
Brexlow, there we go. I can do Brexlow.
We're doing Brexlow. Anyway, so the reason I decided to bring you on to the Metacast today is because I just spent $146 on a tennis racket.
Why?
So I was looking for where you can find rackets. They're hard to find, turns out.
Okay.
And I found a racket, a $250 racket on clearance for $100 at racketguys.com. Shout out to new sponsors, racketguys.com.
Ooh. All right. Use code Metacast for 0% off.
Yep, 0% off. The racket does not even come strung, so you have to buy strings. So I bought the hybrid $10 strings. They're stringing it for me for half price, which is $11. They're shipping it out right now, $146 total. I also got a few extra balls, so it looks like we're going pro.
Well, I gotta say, I don't know what I got to say. It's interesting that I showed you so many $20 rackets and $30 rackets, and you ended up going with a $140-something racket. I mean, if it's a deal, it's a deal. If it's a deal, it's a deal, right? I'm not gonna knock the deal. But
it's a deal. It's not a good deal. I still spent three times.
Yeah, no, you. In the scope of tennis racket deals, that's probably a good deal. In the scope of tennis rackets that Matt Velez needs to buy in order to practice tennis, I feel like you got ripped off because you could have got something from Amazon with batteries included for $39.99.
Yeah, well, I saw the ones with batteries, the Milos Raonic and the Federer, and this is the thing. Actually, the rackets that were around your price point and size were $10 more, plus they had an additional shipping charge. And they were coming from, guess where, Racket Guys, the same place I found this racket.
Interesting. So, okay, so overall, the justification of going up to the 140 is not that hard to swallow.
Unless I was getting a junior racket. I was getting a junior racket, I couldn't find anything on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find anything in stores. And even Sporting Life and Sport Check didn't have a great selection.
Right.
Everything is sold out. Turns out everyone got into tennis at the same time, just like bikes and everything else.
Yeah. Makes sense. So why? Another friend
before you asked me if I wanted to get into tennis. It's like everyone's jumping on the hotness right now.
Yeah. So why this racket? Why getting it? Like, it seems like, because I know you were doing a lot of research last night into the tennis rackets. When I bought my racket yesterday, I just went, this one looks cool, I'll buy this one, and I ended up buying one for 11-year-old.
I'm not sure if you can. I'm gonna have to edit this.
Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Yeah. So as soon as you get outside of beginner or junior rackets, they stop stringing them. You have to get your own strings, and there's multiple string styles and string materials for adjusting, you know, power, control, shit, speed, all that stuff.
Okay.
So essentially, yeah, they once you pay above $70, they don't string it for you. For Michaela?
Gotcha.
Fellas, yeah. I'm good, thanks.
So what is yours getting strung for?
I'm doing a crazy podcast right now. I'm on the street collecting my Uber food, DoorDash. Thank you so much. And casting at the same time. Sorry, what were you going to say?
What is yours being strung for then? Am I to expect more power, or am I to expect more accuracy? Am I to expect more of the same that I got last night, which is an inability to hit the ball?
Let's see you play with a badminton racket for an hour. You've got a heavy wooden
badminton racket.
The irony is that you like to go with the power stuff because you're, you know, a little shrimp dick. But the bigger the racket, the easier it is to generate power, aka you don't have to use power to generate powerful swings with that racket. It's actually very easy to generate power. So it's made for weaklings, essentially. The bigger the racket, the more power, the less actual power you need behind the swing.
See, I was actually, when I was learning tennis as a child and playing tennis as a child, you don't actually use your arm at all, really. Your arm is just holding the racket. You're actually using your body to hit the ball.
And somehow you still suck it down.
All right, well, I see you throwing the gauntlet down. We know where there is tennis courts, and there is one way to settle this once and for all.
Yeah,
and that is through trash talking each other over a podcast.
Yes, exactly.
When is your racket expected to arrive?
That's actually why I called, because now I ordered it, and the website said allow like an extra business day in case of delays, etc. Sorry, I'm giving it a second because I think it's switching over to Wi-Fi. You still there? Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so they said give me an additional day. Give them an additional day because of COVID delays. And then it said if you're getting it strung, an additional 3 to 5 days. But they said initially the shipping was 3 to 5 days. So if it ends up being like 6 to 10 days, I'm going to be pissed because I wanted it for this fucking week.
Right.
If it ends up being this week, I'm going to be pretty happy about it. But like, if it ends up being 2 weeks from now, I'm afraid I'm just going to end up buying a $20 racket.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Like, the advantage is we could have just gone to a Sport Check or to a Sporting Life tomorrow and ended up picking one up. You would have spent less money than you spent. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you have, I think, an objectively better racket than I do. So whether or not it's worth the wait is to be decided. I think it might be. It's probably going to fit your body better.
It's gonna be worth the wait, but what isn't worth waiting is not playing in the meantime.
That's the thing. And then the thing becomes, oh, what are you just gonna go buy another $20 racket?
I think I will probably.
It's probably worth looking up on Kijiji or Facebook Marketplace, someone selling old tennis rackets, because you could probably find one. I'm willing to bet if you're willing to put a little bit of effort into finding a used one, you could find a used tennis racket for $10, $10 or $20. That is an adult size tennis racket.
Yeah.
So yeah, not in the situation I'm in.
I was looking at the used market, and the reason I didn't do that is because the used market doesn't have a lot of details in terms of size, the weight, the material, the strings, etc. And ultimately, it's not that important because we're beginners and stuff like that. But because I'm paying attention, and I actually really enjoyed playing tennis, working my upper body more and working on like my explosiveness, because I enjoy it, I actually want to take it seriously. So I wanted to find a racket that I understood like why it was what it was and why I should get that, and find out what's wrong with it. Like, it's easier to know what you need if you know what you started, right?
Exactly.
Whereas if you start with something random off of Kijiji or Facebook, you might not ever know exactly what you got, and you might not ever learn. But
well, to be fair, that is kind of the exact opposite of what I did. So I just bought the first one that I saw and was like, yeah, I like that color scheme.
Yeah.
Right? That 100% of my purchase. In fact, when the guy even showed me slightly cheaper adult-sized tennis rackets, they were all black or all yellow or something. I was like, nah, I kind of want that black and purple and teal color scheme that I got in mind. So I was willing to spend it on this kid's one. And the more we play, obviously, the more we sit around going, geez, maybe I shouldn't have got a kid's racket. Maybe I want something a little bit better. I'll probably end up trying yours here and there and be like, wow, yeah, the adult one definitely is better for me to have a bigger racket. And I'll probably end up buying another one anyway, meaning my total overall will probably end up being more than yours. But until you figure out, okay, this is what I want. I want to feel less pressure in my elbow when I swing. I want to feel, I'm noticing that on the slightest hits, I'm getting a lot more power. Maybe my strings are tied too taut. Right. So maybe like you kind of develop like, all right, these are the things I like and don't like. It was the same thing with me when skateboarding when I was a kid. When I was a kid and I learned how to skateboard, my first skateboard was your $30 Walmart special that my mom got me that had bullshit wheels, bullshit deck that was super heavy, bullshit bearings that you would have to push every time. It wouldn't roll at all. And it was absolute dog shit. And my friends got nice, proper, you know, expensive boards. And I always preferred using theirs. But what I learned on mine was, not only can I still do certain things. I mean, and again, my skateboarding career was peaked at being able to do a pop shove it or a 180 ollie. Like that was, I'm not sitting around dick flipping off grinds. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not like I was good at skateboarding, but I was competent enough to bust a thing out here or there. If it was like, oh, let me ollie over this thing. I could probably do that. And I learned on mine. I'm like, all right, well, it's really heavy. Right. So I want something that's a little bit lighter. I don't necessarily care about me being able to push on it because if I'm not traveling on the skateboard. Right. If I'm at the skate park, it's usually pretty smooth anyway. If I'm push, ollie, push, like I can deal with that. I want something lighter. And I was able to kind of pick and choose. These are the parts that I prefer to have. Right. So instead of getting, here's something that's 8 out of 10 across the board. You never learn what you hate and what you don't like. Here's something that's 1 out of 10 across the board. Okay, cool. If I had to choose a few things, I wanted to be 10 out of 10 and the rest sacrifice. I was able to kind of do that with the shittier board. And I feel like playing with the badminton racket, you're going to learn, okay, obviously, I need a bigger surface area to hit the ball than this small little badminton thing. Obviously, I want it to be a little bit lighter. But what is it that I'm struggling at doing, right? What is it that I'm struggling at pulling off when I'm on the thing? Is it being able to return the ball? Is it hitting it with the power that I think I'm hitting it with, right? Is what the strength with which I'm using to hit the ball reflected in the way the ball is traveling? Am I hitting it too hard? Am I hitting it too light? And you'll learn, like, okay, I can deal with something heavier in my hand as long as – it's reflecting in my hit or whatever, right? Like you kind of get to start picking and choosing what you want to work on, what you want to deal with, what you want to never even worry about ever. Like if you're never going to do a two-handed backhand, then who gives a shit about, you know, this specific thing, right? Does that make sense? So,
yeah, no, of course. Like, and I'm actually glad that I bought the one I did because I originally wanted to buy essentially the exact same one as yours to make it an even playing field. But like the more I thought about the fact that it was a kid's one, which essentially was that means designed so that it's very easy to play with, I figured, like everyone says, obviously start like that if you're a beginner. But my opinion is like you start like that and you might not ever leave it. You might develop bad habits instead of learning how to play.
Oh, wait, in your research of buying rackets, did you actually find out that people are recommending starting off with kid size rackets?
Not necessarily kid size, but oversized. I don't know what they're called, heads. So essentially, you can get all sorts of sizes, 27 down to like 21 inches. You said yours was 26, I think. I think most pro or performance ones are 27, so mine's a 27-inch. Mm-hmm. But your head is probably well over 100 square inches, whereas mine, I think, was 98 or 100 or something like that.
Interesting.
So mine's, like, the actual surface area is smaller. The entire thing is bigger. Yours is designed, essentially, because of its large surface area, a trampoline for balls to never miss, essentially.
Interesting.
Your accuracy and control doesn't have to be as good because your sweet spot is effectively larger, right? Which is why I thought maybe I'll get the same one and then we'll essentially be playing Mario Tennis. Fucking make it easy mode. But then I figured if I get something that's a little bit more advanced, we'll have the ability to keep swapping and learn how the other one performs.
Right.
And on days where it's like, fuck it, I want to have easy moto, I'll go easy moto. And on days otherwise, you might want to go pro moto or intermediate moto, whatever they call it. But essentially,
essentially this way we have two speeds, you know, two cars instead of one car, and we can try different things out. And on top of the fact that it's obviously a real tennis racket, so I'll be able to hit things. The badminton racket was essentially hitting it with a fucking bat.
I think the other thing, that we need to work on as well, and this is mostly me just kind of thinking out loud. Obviously, the more we play tennis, the better we'll get at tennis. But in order to really work on fundamentals, and this is where I think a lot of people never get better at what they're doing, practice just doing things over and over and over again. Figure out a way to buy 100 tennis balls, go to the tennis courts and just go, okay, I'm working on my serve, 100 serves in a row. And then, all right, cool. Now I'm going to work on my serves, 100 serves in a row. And you just work on one thing over and over and over and over and over again. And that's how you kind of perfect that element. Yeah. Obviously, if we just keep playing games of tennis over and over again, we will improve gradually. But that's kind of min-maxing. Like, you know when you play an RPG and you decide, okay, I'm playing Skyrim, and by doing things, you're able to level up certain things. And you realize that, oh, man, my jumping is kind of crap. So you then just decide for the next 30 minutes, you just jump. Yeah, exactly. And then your jumping improves. Now, if you just played the game normally, overall, your jumping would improve, as would everything else, slowly as total. But and that's kind of how you do the whole mile wide, inch deep type stuff. Whereas if you really want to get mile deep, mile wide, you really got to start focusing on specific things to perfect those and then go, cool, I've mastered this.
We don't even know what we're bad at yet after one game, right? On two.
Well, practices. I think we can both agree we're both bad at everything.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like what actually means improving, that's to be seen.
Yeah.
So I'm not even worried about that. What is fun, though, is that, of course, you must remember this. I believe the premier Toronto tennis club is across the street from us.
Squash? I know for squash and racquetball, I don't know if they do tennis. They probably do. It's worth looking into. It's worth looking into because a proper tennis thing where it's like, all right, this is our book time. It's an indoor thing. We don't have to worry about balls going into other people's courts or whatever. Or maybe there's even people who go, hey, I see you. When you serve, you're kind of hitting the ball straight. You want to actually start with your body sideways coming across or something, right? Like you'll have those people coming up and giving you tips. I would join a tennis club.
I don't know
if I wanted to get better.
Join one just yet. I think I will if I'm still playing, having a lot of fun, and it gets cold. Because then I have to be outdoors. So then I'm definitely going to consider. For now, I'm just going to try and play the open courts.
Gotcha.
I bet mine doesn't come with a fucking sling. Oh my god, I paid $104. It's not even gonna come with like a cover to hold it.
I guarantee you it would. There's no way every tennis racket sporting life came with a little wrap bag. Mine was a $50 fucking racket that came with a little wrap bag. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. I saw the selection at Sport Check and it was horrible. The selection at Sport Check sorry, you were just breaking up there. The selection at Sport Check was all like 21, 23 inch junior. So basically everything adult is either not for sale there or has sold out. So that's actually the reason I bought it when I did, because I was like, I could wait and then regret when it's sold out that I missed out on a more than half off pro tennis racket, or I could just fucking buy it and never regret it because I'll always have a good racket.
No, it's didn't spend that much money. $140. Shorts.
Could you repeat that for me? I do a cutout.
Money that you spent.
There you go.
Yeah, the money that you spent is practical. You didn't spend $140 on aerodynamic shirts and shorts. You spent $140 on a racket, which is the most important thing you can buy when it comes to playing tennis. And Are you gonna be sitting around in 6 months going, oh, I really wish I didn't spend that $140 on a tennis racket? No, absolutely not. Could you
every summer you'll have that one more thing to do?
Exactly. Now the argument could be made, could you have spent $70 on the racket and would you have noticed a difference? I think that's open for interpretation. I think that's to be decided as you play more and more and more.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you spent the money that you were comfortable spending, and that's really the best thing that you could do, is how much are you comfortable spending on a thing? That's what you bought, right? So, I don't know. At the end of the day,
Where'd you go? You cut out again. At the end of the day. You still there? Where did he go? I'm going to hang it up and dial you back.
had a little signal issue. Achoo. That was an 18 minutes recording. I'm going to call him back. But while we're on the Metacast, why don't you say hello?
Hi.
Hi. This is?
Michaela.
Michaela, also known as Taylor, to all Thai restaurants in Toronto. Is trying out Thai food. I don't know if this is her first time, but she said she doesn't like it, which is shocking to me because I love Thai food. Michaela, what did you order for us?
We ordered, pad Thai.
Pad Thai? Curry pad Thai. They got a lemon in there. They got nuts and everything. Looks really nice. Oh, they did not include utensils. Scam. There's one there. You can take that. I think there's probably more. There's more here. So please excuse the erraticness of all of my episodes. The signal, I guess, cut out with Matt Moore, our first guest. Our second guest, Michaela, got me Thai food, which I was very thankful for. And I had a little bit of a bite, had to cut us off early there. That's okay. She said hi. I'm sure you guys all heard. I think I'm going to try and get back in touch with Matt. In the meantime, maybe I'll just give you a little bit more about tennis, my daily life. So I actually bike to work every day, to and from, and on days off I still bike around. It's my 100% first means of transportation. I love it, helping me stay healthy, stay fit, and encouraging me to do other things like eat better, because you know, when you eat better you just ride longer and harder, and feel better. So I've been really thankful for that, but I can tell that my fitness needs a little bit more, because it becomes so regular in your daily routine. It doesn't become the extra bit that you need to either lose weight or put on any sort of muscle. And even more importantly, that it's rather unbalanced. That is, only the bottom half of me gets any serious workout. Like my trunk will get some workout if you're climbing or if you're pushing really hard. But generally speaking, it's more of a conditioning, an endurance exercise rather than a muscle building exercise. And so I decided I wanted to take up, I've been thinking a lot about taking up another sport that would help me work my upper body, my flexibility and athleticism, in general, and just, you know, more define my back, shoulder, arms, chest area instead of just, you know, focusing on that lower body, which does all our work 90% of the day. So originally I was considering moving to Muay Thai, that is picking up a Muay Thai course somewhere. There's one nearby actually. And jiu-jitsu, it's a MMA gym, a mixed martial arts gym, but they have not reopened since the quarantine. I think I still will go there, but two of my friends suggested playing tennis. They asked me if I wanted to play with them, both of which I replied, yes, of course, why not? I've had fun playing it before, but I didn't have a racket, I had a badminton racket. And playing with the badminton racket and with my friend's junior racket, I saw that tennis is actually a lot of fun. You do a ton of running around, a lot of bending and twisting. And I could feel in my arms that how weak they were, how badly they wanted to swing and not get the swing, how they would lose control on impact with the ball. My wrists would, or my grip would. A lot of that had to do with my horrible badminton racket. But generally speaking, I could tell that there was definitely work for me to be done and that tennis would help me do that. So, I'm taking up tennis. I decided I'm going to make that one of my who knows what summer or maybe all year sports. I have friends that like volleyball, beach volleyball specifically a lot. And that's a really fun sport too. But I'm not crazy about it. I don't know if it's smacking against the forearms or whatever. But I have a lot of fun doing it. It's just nothing I wanted to take too seriously. Whereas tennis, maybe because it's a solo sport, often I like it a bit better. Actually, I feel like there's some strange similarities between tennis and Super Smash Brothers, which is my other number one sport. But all that said, tennis, it gave me a crazy good workout that I really enjoyed. And I did a little bit of research and found out a few things about tennis. So if you're listening to this and you are interested in getting into tennis, or you just want to hear something about a sport you don't know, let's talk about rackets. Rackets come in any of like up to four or five materials: graphene, aluminum, wood, and some other like titanium, Kevlar, carbon fiber, advanced, stiff, and light materials. They want to be as light as possible, generally speaking. They also want to be very stiff if they want to transfer power.
The more flexible they are, the less power they deliver because the flex will actually absorb too much impact. Whereas if they're stiff, the trampoline, the surface area of your racket is going to do most of the absorption and bouncing the ball back. Stiffer they are, the more bounce you get. Generally, stiffer means also heavier, which is why those advanced materials are used so often. Things like graphene or Kevlar, because they are unbelievably stiff and very, very lightweight, easy to swing around, get a huge like range of motion, put it where you want it so you can get, you know, the shape or whatever, the curve or whatever the control you want over your shot. After the material, you have something like the stringing and, of course, the dimensions. So I don't know if you knew this. Of course, you probably assumed tennis had a standard stringing style, and it certainly does, but there's actually a few. There's the 16x9, which is generally preferred amongst professionals and people who are interested in a spin on their serves, that is sending balls back with a curve or a spin to it. Makes it harder to control or respond to, I imagine, when it comes to you and you want to rally it back. And then there's the tighter patterns, which increases control, so it allows you to place it where you want a bit better, but you don't get as much spin. Control seems like high-level technique. You're going to figure that out later on as you play more, figuring out how to get the ball to go exactly where you want. Generally, I'm guessing as you start, the first thing you want to do is just hit it in the first place, hit it back. And then once you get control down, you need to, like, I guess, master your power, how hard you want to hit it to get it right over the net, just over the net, way over the net, big arches to make it difficult to predict where it's going to land or hit it on the second bounce, or before the second bounce, rather. The stringing is gonna help with the positioning, the control, they call it. The dimensions, so the size of the surface area of the strings goes anywhere between something like 80-ish square inches up to like 110 square inches. It seems the trend these days is larger. All the beginner pro rackets you find are about 100. Like the Milos and the Federer all start at 100. The ones that I found for around $60-$70 start at 100. The junior ones, generally, although shorter, have a bigger surface area. The one my roommate got has 100 plus square inch surface area for sure. Probably closer to the 110-13 range, because in the juniors and starter rackets, that's what the stats I was seeing. I don't know exactly what his has. But you're getting up into that 100 plus range so that you have a bigger sweet spot, effectively. Colloquially, essentially the area where you can hit the ball and still get really good power and control. So it kind of just, you know, easy modes the game for you, so you can worry more on learning the basics of your swing and etc. So yeah, the strings, which come in multiple materials, make a difference to the power and the springiness of it, or the control and grip of it, or the durability, how long they'll last. All those different materials have to be taken into account. They have, of course, different qualities in each material. You can get that strung a nice racket above $70. You're probably going to have to get strings and have it strung for you. It's custom, so to speak. Whereas generally the beginner stuff under 100, around the 80 lower range, are going to come pre-strung for you just to get you started. So those strings you can get in a 16x19 arrangement, and essentially that's like that's the control pro arrangement. And then there's something higher, 18x20 or 18x21, something like that, which gives you a bit of a finer grid surface area and that control you might want. For me, I went for something that requires a little bit of strength behind it, not because I consider myself strong, but because I wanted to train my strength. I wanted to have a nice, hearty swing. I didn't want to have a racket doing the work for me, just because I wanted, again, to work on my upper body. So I went for a more control style, which is, you know, I expect it to happen. I was saying to my friends earlier off the cast that, like, generally my stereotype has always been the finesse type, the assassin or the archer, versus the brute force type. And so I was really torn on going brute force this time because, like, I'm not good at tennis. And, of course, every website suggests, recommends you go with the beginner brute force type that is something with a lot of power behind it, so that it goes off really easy and you don't have to worry about the power of your swings. You only have to worry about placing it, which is nice, but then it's just going to fly every time and you're going to have to hold back to hit it. That doesn't sound like fun. So something that I have to put a little bit of strength behind to actually learn that dexterity, learn that those muscle movements, that seems important to me. And that's why I went with what I went with. Something like the MXG1 or something like that. It was on clearance. The racket I got was down from $250 to $100. It's getting strung, I suppose, right now or very soon and shipped out, hopefully arriving by Friday. Got a few extra tennis balls with it too. So, I think we were probably talking about the head size. The bigger it is, the more power, because of the trampoline effect, essentially the snapback, the bigger that surface area, the more power it's going to get, and the more effective sweet space. The smaller it is, the easier and lighter the actual racket is to handle, and therefore the better control you can get, but more power behind your swing is required, which again was my hope, to have something that's a bit more powerful so that I can get a bit more muscle into it and work on my actual athleticism, my kinetic intelligence, I believe they call it. That is how you move your body and stuff like that. That pretty much wraps it up. Who do you want me to call? Who can I call to tell about this? Who can I call to tell about this?
Anybody. It's a human rights tribunal. It's just like telling something that's like telling.
Who do you want me to talk to?
Person, you can't find nothing in my.
Who do you want me to talk to?
Hey, CEO. Tell me, I want.
What do you want me to do? What can I do? What can I do?
Take cash.
This guy was giving me guff. So that dude came in here to buy two cables, and I got him for him, but he wanted to pay with cash. So he started going on about how this is a communism, and I'm like, I work here, dude. What do you want? Like, I don't make these policies. I didn't decide for you. Oh, fun guy. I can't let him get away with it too. I had to shout him. I was like, what do you think this is? So obviously off to a great, fun day. Last time I did the podcast, I also had some freaks hollering at me, making a mess of things. It's been a good time. And I'm enjoying myself. I'm happy about that racket, to be honest. I'd rather have gotten a nice, good racket instead of stuck with some beginner and regretted it forever. I can't wait to find out that I can't control it, can't use it, and I just made the same mistake as bringing a badminton racket to the courts. But I don't think that'll be the case. I think it's like a nice material too. It was $250, so I think it's like, I don't know what it was, graphene or something nice. I'll double check that later. But I got a nice racket, I think. I also bought for my fashionistas on Grail Fred Perry tennis shoe. Fred Perry was a tennis player, turns out. A Fred Perry tennis shoe. Firmament Berlin. So it was an exclusive model made for Firmament Berlin, I think clothing or shoe store in Berlin. And it was just a remake of the original, like something 30s or 40s model. So it's an interesting and unique shoe, and I got it for pretty low for what I imagine a shoe like this would have gone for, new or even used, but it was used off Grailed. I also found some Nike Supreme tennis shoes, which look cool. I was really considering the Stan Smiths, just, you know, for the meme. You know, 5-6 years late, getting on the joke. Because they're a classic shoe, and I've never had it like a basic white sneaker. But I'd rather have the blazer for that. So it was a big dilemma for me, because the blazer is, guess what? That's a basketball shoe, not a tennis shoe. And even though they are virtually equivalent, the blazer, I was actually worried about this. The blazer doesn't have any perforation, so for ventilation, I don't know what that's like. But yeah, I had to get tennis shoes because I know there are shoes that are called tennis. So it's like, how could you not get tennis shoes? So I got tennis shoes as well. I think I have like wrist warmers or whatever they're called. So that should be nice for the racket smacking against your wrist. I think that's what must be what they're for. I never really thought about it. And I already have shorts and shirts, so fucking we're good to go. I'm ready for tennis. I'm going to try and play like a couple times a week, hopefully. It's kind of a little bit of a walk to the courts, but it's not horrible. And maybe I can even find a place nearby where I can just bounce it off the wall to get a similar experience. So yeah, tennis is my new meme after fixed gear bicycling. The magic of tennis, I hope anyway, is that I don't need really much equipment besides the racket to get going. So I spent maybe a little too much on the combination of racket and shoe, but I think that'll last me for many years to come. I hope. I don't know this, I mentioned earlier, but I don't know if it comes with an actual bag to carry the racket, a sling or cover for it, and I really hope it does. Because if it doesn't, I'm going to be so pissed having to carry that around everywhere. I'm going to have to improvise some sort of carrying mechanism, probably like a carabine between the bar that connects the hoop to the stick. But we'll see.
Well, hi there.
Well, welcome back. So, the tennis racket is when it'll show up. Hopefully, next week we could use this week to start chopping up the badminton racket, the power suit.
I don't want to fuck with the badminton rackets until we attempt making that YouTube video.
Okay, well, all I'm saying is that I don't know when it's showing up. So if you want to put those rackets...
Yeah, it would be because you're off most this week and I'm off for the rest of forever. So this week would be the ideal situation. I kind of wanted to finish the Kolodrovich video first before starting to work on a new project. But this could be
All right.
Yeah, well, this could be a one day. I gotta conceptualize the video idea. So
yeah. So tennis, I guess, is now my sport. It's going to have to be your sport, too. Because we're too fat for football or soccer or basketball. Oh.
Hey.
We'll finish it now. Probably got like 5 or 10 minutes before somebody walks up. But
cool.
So what's your plan now that we have tennis as our sport? And I've been meaning to work on my upper body, so I'm happy about that anyways. What's your plan now that you're laid off?
Great question.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. I have no plan at all.
Correct.
There's no plan.
That's no. It's you know what it's going to be. So I have access to this. So there's this headhunting group or whatever that's going to be working with me to find me work moving forward. I'm going to be working with them seriously and you know dedicate a couple hours a day to them in the job search. What I'm going to do is look to finish up August for conceptualizing and trying to execute a few personal projects. And financially, I'd be fine with another month as well. So my ideal timeline, my ideal situation would be October 1st. I go back to work at this new job, and then the rest of August and the entire month of September, I get to just work on whatever it is that I want to work on. Obviously, if I start getting traction on something, maybe I push to, you know, November, because that's technically before – that's when EI would kick in for me, would be November. Yep. So I would be set until then. Then the question becomes, okay, cool, now that it's November, do I go back to work? Or I'm getting a lot of traction working on this documentary or this short film or this whatever – do I go on EI for a little bit longer while working on this, sacrificing some of my more kind of financial situation under the hope that I'm able to put a lot of work and effort into this personal project? Or do I go, oh, wait, I forgot I'm talentless and 30 and should get a job. And then I just go back to work, right? So that's kind of what I'm going to take this time to do. It's a whole 30-year-old, you find out what you want to do when you're 30, right?
Or so they say.
And I'm in a great opportunity to be able to take time off to try and find out what I actually want to do. Right. Because I don't need to worry about money for a couple of months. So I don't have the pressure of do this to pay your bills. I know that I will get a job again when I decide to go back to work. So I don't have the pressure of, oh, my God, it's been X amount of time. How am I going to get a job? I need to take the first thing that shows up. I can be a little picky. So it allows me to kind of explore these other things that I have always said to myself I didn't have the time to work on. Now, because it's COVID, obviously something's getting a lot more complicated. I would have wanted to maybe try doing stand-up again or go to a few like auditions or do that like Second City improv courses and stuff like that, right? To kind of
explore those options. Those aren't possibilities now, right? Because of everything that's going on. So it is an interesting time that this is what's up. I might, I'm obviously still looking into maybe doing Ireland for a couple of years or the UK for a couple of years, that whole working holiday visa thing. But because of COVID, that obviously fucks a lot of those plans up. So all I know is,
so long as you're willing to quarantine for 2 weeks, nothing's off the table.
Technically, yes, you're absolutely right. And realistically, in a lot of those other countries, there are probably those jobs that rely on people coming over for a year, and there's probably no one out there right now. So an argument could even be made that as soon as I show up, they go, oh, shit, thank you for showing up. We're desperate for people. Please come take this job that we've fucked our industry over by only hiring these kind of...
Yeah, there's probably a few nations that you'd be interested in going in where you'd actually be a shoo-in for a lot of positions just because of your history. The way Marcus kind of had New Zealand and Australia, he was getting jobs every 3 months, no problem. And he was comfy. He was making lots of money.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have a problem if I landed in the UK tomorrow, walking up into a tea booth or a car phone warehouse or something and saying, hey, I've got 10 years of telecom experience. I just need a job for a year. Hook me up on minimum wage with commission. They'd be like, oh, great. Thank you. Okay, you start tomorrow. Yeah. Right, I'm fairly confident that I could do that. It's just a matter of the first 2 weeks of me being in a new country is going to be quarantining. Like, that's kind of lame. Like, maybe if I wait until November or December, I don't have to do that because we found a cure or whatever, right? Like, is it worth waiting? I think the best thing to do is take stock of the different options and pursue your passions for an amount of time. Give yourself a deadline of, I want to know what direction I'm moving in by November 1st, and then just exist until then. That's kind of what it is. And if an idea strikes my fancy, if I decide, you know what, this week I'm going to try and work on writing a short film, and I'm going to give myself from Monday to Friday to write a script for a 30-minute short or a 20-minute short, I go, cool, it's written. Now let's see if I can give myself next week to storyboard it. All right, cool, I've storyboarded it. Well, I've got a script, I've got a storyboard, I've got all the equipment that I need. Let me see if I can figure out people to act in it. All right, cool. I'll do it myself. I'll get one or two other people. Great. Now we're in this situation. Why don't I edit, right?
There's never been a better time.
Exactly. This is the time to do it. Although, unfortunately, through my own firsthand observational experience and my own knowledge of myself, I also know this is probably a really good chance that I'm just going to sit on my ass, wake up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and 100% Banjo-Kazooie or course, something. Like,
that's 100% true. You've seen me do it 5 or 6 or 7 times. So the real problem is, you know, what kind of pressure you're going to put on yourself? Because one day, you get to this point where it's like, you know, what's the point of waiting for it to get better, for it to be perfect, to do these things when I could just start doing it? It's like doing push-ups at home kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to start eventually, so do it or don't. But, you know, the time is only just ticking by, so you make your bet. Anyway.
Speaking of that, thank you for your laundry today.
Oh, speaking of that, sorry, I didn't hear that, but I'm sure it was a good joke. Anyway, I'm going to end the call here. Thank you so much for your time. Glad you answered. I think this podcast is shaping up to be another piece of crap that no one's going to be able to follow, which is exactly how I wanted it to be. So thank you again. I'll talk to you soon, Matt.
Have a good day. Enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for having me as a guest. Everybody, don't forget to Jumping Off Bridges is also available on Anchor FM. And don't forget to use code Jumping Off Bridges. Go to honey.com/jumpingoffbridges for a free honey sponsorship. We don't actually get money for that. I just figured if we say it enough and enough people go to that URL, then they will eventually create it for us. So there's my shameless plug for the day.
Thank you. Jumping Off Bridges, check them out. Matt Moore, checking out.
Adios.